was that just how unexpected what happened at Pentecost was and how different. A bit like what you've had this morning. Right? You don't come to church and it's clear and someone dances. But also, in a way, it wasn't, strictly speaking, necessary to preach the message. Greek was spoken throughout the empire. It could have been communicated, but it wouldn't have had that effect, would it? And that's how each of us needs different special gifts. So for some, dance does that for them, whether they're a dancer or someone who likes watching dance. For others, that is not. But I guess the good thing is they went with the flow. Now, we haven't actually decided at all what we're speaking about, but something unexpected happened on Friday, and I thought I'd go with this. You know, when you perform, it's nice if you have an audience. Have any of you ever been in one of those performances where there isn't much of an audience there, numbers-wise? And you're sitting there thinking, oops. Have any of you ever been on stage singing or something when not many people came to watch you or listen to you? Have you had that experience? I once played an orchestra of 40, and there were 40 in the audience. And it was an auditorium of 500, and everyone spread out. Now, we didn't quite have that on Friday. We had about 20 of us there at Fourth Wall Theatre when Jennifer danced on Friday night. So the normal thing is that you sort of go, I don't know, in the natural, you just go, oh, yeah, oh. But something else happened. Jennifer did a Q&A, which I thought, you don't do question and answer after performance, that sort of ruins the effect. But tell us what happened from your point of view with the question and answer and after that. You want to just talk a bit about that?
Sharing with you this morning is a little bit unexpected because Paul didn't tell me we were doing this.
I didn't tell you last time either.
That's okay.
I don't think I remembered it.
After my show, and I was feeling really, I always feel very tender after a show, after I've done anything, including this morning, because it's quite a vulnerable kind of thing. And I decided, I came out and I said, if you'd like to stay, we could talk, we could share, and we could talk. And a really lovely thing happened, that not only did the people in the audience start asking me questions, several of which I turned right back around and I said, instead of they said, when one chap said, what does grace mean to you? And because the third part of my concert is called Grace, he said, what does that mean? And I turned it around and I said, what does it mean? And that was good because then it made people think, well, okay, what does it mean? What does it mean to you? And the really nice thing that happened is that instead of just talking, you know, in that direction, they started talking with each other. And then I went, eventually, after a while, I went back and changed my clothes, and gathered my bits and pieces, and I came out, and they're all still there, and they're all talking.
I was describing to Jenny maybe why that happened. Sometimes with the Holy Spirit, we love reading the part of that reading where it says, and then at the end of the chapter, and then 3,000 or 4,000 were believed and were added, and oh, wasn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be great to happen this morning, God? Thank you very much. We're less enthusiastic sometimes about God doing something small. And in a sense, I thought part of the reason that happened was because there were few of us. And we actually could then function as a group. And I said to Jenny, the other thing is that we'd just been through a traumatizing experience. Jennifer performing. That's not traumatizing. You can't say that, Paul. It's a deep, meaningful cultural experience. You know,
it's a bit traumatizing because the piece is a bit grim. I mean, you know, the piece is a bit grim. It's not beautiful. It's quite grim. So I suppose in some senses, and I'm very gaunt and old and bony, and that's traumatizing in itself.
It's funny, the performance, you know what the performance was called, don't you? You've seen the posters up? Stripped bare. The funny thing was, I read that poster, and in the poster, Jenny has a blank leotard or something on, so I thought, oh, well, that's what she'll be performing it in. No. She performed it in, sort of just covering herself, so midriff showing, so all shoulders and arms and virtually and all the legs showing. So we saw every dancing muscle and bone, and it was quite, at first, the sort of thing where you go, oh, do we really want to see this? Because we're used to seeing dancing where you hide all the work that's going on underneath. Dancers go through tremendous stress and hard work, and in performance, or in practice as well, sometimes if you actually look behind, someone in the audience said that they saw the Russian ballet once sort of from behind, and it made them realize that they lit it from the front to make it look good, but behind, with all the lifting and so on, they could see the stress the dancers were under. And so we were seeing that right full on, and all the bending and so on. And then you think, no, this is what dancing is. This is a bit like when you say, you want people to just be more themselves and just not, just not bare their souls completely, but, be more open rather than hide. Because with dancing, you sort of are used to seeing something presented that looks nice, that makes you feel nice. And so in that dance, Jennifer, she does that dance with, very little, just covering the minimum, and you see all the muscles and bones, because Jennifer's so gaunt, as she says. And then she puts the dress on. There's a dress hanging from the ceiling, and she goes over and puts it on. And I must admit, when she put the dress on, normally I would think, oh, that's beautiful, that person's dancing so beautifully. And it made me realize that often when you're watching a dancer, you actually really like the look of the dress, or the beauty of the costume, and that sort of thing, to make it look good on the actual dance itself. But you found some dancers too. So you found an old dancing person. Yeah. That was amazing.
There were some people in the audience who knew me from 1,000 years ago, and one lady had even worked with me in a show that I did. Is there time to tell them the poem?
Yes.
A little poem? Yes. I wrote a little poem that kind of makes up what it was about. I am born naked and alone. Sometimes my friends come with me. Often they go in the other direction. I will die naked and alone. Grace accompanies me.
When we think of grace, it has, the word itself has a lovely sound to it, doesn't it, grace? And we think of, I think of the gentleness, gracefulness. But the meaning that I was seeing in Jenny's dancing on Friday night is when it's tough, when we're falling down rather than standing up, when we're at our limit of how much we can bend and stretch and hold a position, that's when the grace really comes, at the time of greatest stress, I guess, Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us this morning and being brave again and for coming up unwarned. Thank you, Jennifer. And isn't that, that's true. That's the other thing. Thank you. Because didn't you have this problem last night? I wasn't going to watch last night. Except someone else in my house was, so I thought I'd watch it with them. And I said to the people at 8 o'clock, I said, halfway through the service, that, it was the wedding on, by the way, in case you didn't know. And halfway through the service, I was thinking, oh, I'm really enjoying this. And I thought, ah, it's a church service on television. That's what I'm enjoying. I thought, yes. And I said at 8 o'clock this morning, I said, isn't it wonderful that the sneaky ways God has of doing that? You know, I thought, there we are, just minding our own business, ignoring God, you know, never putting a church service on television, because why would you do that? And, pardon? Let alone the sermon. Oh, preach it, brother. I was thinking the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, would be loving this, because he's worked for years in Africa, and he knows that style inside out. He would have just been sitting there going, better you than me, brother. So that, yes, something really special. Good that he did stop eventually. But I don't think he needed to apologize for going long. I think he was shorter than I am, so, you know. Yes. but yes, and I was thinking, and I said at 8 o'clock too, I said, you know, you can't pray the Lord's Prayer in a primary school. But you can in Māori. Which is good. That's that sneaky way God has of getting under the radar. And guess what? They actually know what it means when they pray it in Māori too nowadays. The schools that learn it. So guess what? God just does that. So new and unexpected things. There's all sorts of challenges there about doing brave new things and being completely dependent on God for what happens from there. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for all of you for being brave enough to share it. We're very aware when we do this that, you know, you got the email to say if you just want a normal sermon, in fact, a good one written by Wynne, you could have come at 8 o'clock. and also just to invite you this evening at 7 o'clock, Rodney Dunlop has organised a little Pentecost celebration, and he's got a wonderful pianist, but he wants the pianist backed by a guitarist and a couple of singers. So Wynne and I, that was in the email, but it wasn't in your newsletter, are helping with the music this evening for that. So